if we just say, hey, I have this widget and it's going to change your life, and then we take it to them and nobody ever uses it, that's a waste of time and money, and that's not worthwhile.
Welcome to Tech Speak, a mini episode of the Technologically Speaking podcast. I'm Dave, sound editor for S&T. The voice you heard earlier was Paul McDonough, former Seattle police chief and current S&T first responder portfolio manager, talking about how critical responders are to S&T's research and development. Here's a bit more from Paul.
We continue to use our first responders throughout the whole solution development process. We can use them as subject matter experts in terms of, hey, if this was the solution, would it work? Just that verbal communication. But we also bring them in during the development process where they get to see the proposed physical solution, if there is one, and put their hands on it and kind of run it through the tests and say, hey, yeah, this would work, or you need improvements here and here. And so throughout the whole process, we try to do it because our end state is not only to identify their needs, rapidly develop the needs, but also get it into their hands through commercialization.
Clearly, the partnership between S&T and our First Responder Resource Group, or FRRG, is an important one. Let's now hear directly from some active FRRG members, starting with Steve Vandewall, a helicopter rescue medic with the San Diego Fire Department.
We're trying to describe the FRRG and what we do, and that's what I bring up is the structured firefighting glove, because it really shows how it all came together. I need a glove that's more easily donned and easily doffed. Everyone agreed right away, yeah, that really is something that we all need, that it just isn't out there. And so that turned into an effort for a statement of objectives of all the things an improved glove would be: more dexterous, being able to work on a touch screen, being able to operate my radio, because we go into a fire and take the glove off to change the radio, because we do that in training, because the buttons are small. We're all fat-fingered firefighters. So then you go into a real fire, you do the same thing, because that's what you always do in training. And then the hand burns, the stats came out, were pretty significant career-ending hand burns from people taking off their glove inside a fire. That's when we found Hybrosil, this nanotechnology company. And so you tell me you can give me structured fire gloves the thickness of a dime. I could be doing surgery inside a fire, my hands wouldn't burn. Then the next thing that was just great about it was they made us an extremely thin glove. And so we went through all these different functions you would do with gloves on. And we realized that you do rely on some thickness of a glove. You bash your hands around a lot. And I never even thought about that before. I just thought thinner would be better. So we had really thin. Then we started realizing, no, you actually needed a little thicker. And it took six different iterations of the glove. If you look at what the state of the technology was before our effort, one of the things we do is the tech foraging. That's a key part, is the tech foraging goes out there and says, here is the state of structured glove technology. After we produced our glove, if you re-ran that same thing, all the other glove manufacturers have upped their game. They have to remain competitive to stay in business.
Seems like the FRRG really helps strengthen collaboration across the board. S&T recently released the latest edition of Project Responder, a report heavily informed by FRRG members that documents the evolving response environment and most pressing capability needs. Here's Jay Hagan, chief of the Bellevue, Washington Fire Department, discussing Project Responder 6.
It's a partnership I'm thankful for. It's important work, and it's really about convening people from across the country and having the skill to extract from them, you know, what they need and want, and then how to focus the R&D community on those things. The mission always is evolving, and the money follows the mission, right? So therefore, we have to be responsive into keeping our community safe. And well, I would say that the Project Responder series has always been sort of all hazards focused. Its central mission has kind of been on, you know, detection, capability, equipment, command and control, communication, stuff like that. And the last couple of years, I would say, has taken us in a slightly different direction. I mean, how do we disinfect people, places, and vehicles in real time? That was an area where Project Responder stuff is extremely helpful. Post-econ of surfaces, monitoring whether or not your surfaces and your gear are clean, decontaminating masks, reusing them, and all the training tools, the simulations, the lessons learned, all become extremely valuable. And I'm really thankful to have this work happening in that area. And, you know, I've been to six memorials for people that shouldn't have perished, for people that worked for me. So the safety aspect, the warning systems, the personal alert safety systems, the quality of the protective gear, the ability to communicate a problem, the ability to sense people's status downrange, remotely, hugely valuable in terms of taking care of your people and enabling your people to be successful.
Wow, Jay really put things into perspective. The work responders do can literally be life or death, which is why S&T makes supporting them a priority. Here's Rodney Reed of the Harris County, Texas Fire Marshal's Office, weighing in a bit more about the FRRG and Project Responder.
My personal opinion, any public safety responder that thinks their job is solely the type of badge that they have on, it will in the next 10 years become a dinosaur, and they'll have to go away because, again, the expectations on first responders is far exceeding what Benjamin Franklin first thought about when he came up with volunteer firefighters in the United States and what law enforcement was intended to do and provide. And so, you know, when you look at things like command, control, and coordination and other stuff inside of the project responder documentation is, you know, enhanced situational awareness. And so, again, we have to tear down these. I'm emergency response, your recovery, your preparedness, your mitigation, and getting everybody in the room at the same time so everybody can do their job at the same time so we can recover from these disasters faster. One of the other big values that I have for Project Responder and really the efforts of FRG is the collaborative effort associated with this, looking at all aspects of the response, not saying, hey, we're law enforcement, we're going to look at this from the cop perspective and fire from the fire and public health, because the reality of the situation that we face nowadays is our first responders have an unrealistic expectation by the public to mitigate disasters based on the public's timeline. And so, as we always say, the only way we're going to be able to mitigate these disasters faster is all of us working together.
I couldn't have said it better. All of us working together. This has been Tech Speak. Thank you for listening. You can learn a lot more about the First Responder Resource Group on S&T's website and by following us at DHS SciTech. DHS SCITECH. Bye.